Morning.
Good morning.
Our first reading this morning is from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verses 1 through 2 and 9 through 18. What must we do to live a faithful life? That is the question of the book of Leviticus. Often it's seen as a book of endless rules, but at its core is the question of living together faithfully. Today we read a few of these rules and the ethic behind them. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare, or gather the fallen grapes from your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. And you shall not lie to one another. And you shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal, and you shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart any one of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Our gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 35 through 48. We continue our way through the Sermon on the Mount from the fifth chapter of Matthew's gospel. Here, the author gathered together the core teachings of Jesus' gospel way. Today, we are in the middle of a section called the Six Antitheses. Here, Jesus takes an ancient law, names it, and then reinterprets it. Read together, we come to see that he is unsatisfied with simply following the rules. He wants us to be transformed, such that the deep spirit of the law shines through our very being. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Will you join me in prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of our lives be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, it's been a busy last few days, and today it's a busy one. Yesterday, all the preparations and then gathering to celebrate the life of Jean. A great celebration of a great Northwoodian. Is that what you call us? Is that what we're called? I'm not sure. And then this morning, it was an early start. I actually contemplated it would be handy if I had one of those, you know, those bells that they use in the alpine events as they're going down, just to, you know, cheer them on. It occurred to me to have one in the pulpit so that partway through I could just go bing ding 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 for those of us who were up at 4 o'clock in the morning. There were three people, I gotta say, three people in the last few days who, when we were talking about what's going on in these last couple of days, said, well, tomorrow you should just wing it. We're talking about getting ready for today, getting ready for this service. Just wing it. Well, it kind of warms my heart to think that people might actually, there are a couple of people that think I might be capable of that. And that they kind of would think, you know, don't overdo it. That's kind of feels nice. But I gotta say, you tell me, any of you who watched the Finnish hockey team dispatch the Americans yesterday, were they just winging it? Not thinking so. And this morning, there was no winging going on. That was an incredible match, and neither team was winging it. They both were clear and practiced and orchestrated and coached and executed the plan. There is great deliberateness in what appears to just flow. Now, I'm not at all suggesting that what I have to offer this morning is Olympian in any fashion. However, when Jesus gathers his disciples and says the kinds of things that he said to them that we read in our gospel today, turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, love your enemy. Well, clearly, there is deliberateness in the gospel way. Humans don't turn the other cheek and love our enemies off the cuff. It doesn't come easy to us. It takes deliberateness. We need to do it on purpose. There is nothing wingable about Jesus' plan. Let's look at it. We have been looking through the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has gathered his closest friends on this little hillside in Galilee, kind of off the beaten track. I even think that was deliberate. Just off the radar of the Roman and the local authorities, up on a hill. And he's laying out there the core of this gospel way. And first he starts with the Beatitudes, the blessings. But they're blessings for the vulnerable. Christianity in its essence is a vulnerable way That doesn't necessarily make it any easier. Actually, often it makes things harder. But within this way is a blessing of immeasurable value. And then last week, we heard Jesus call his followers to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Christianity at its heart is an identity. It's a blessing and it's a challenge and it's an identity. It is an answer to the question, who am I? And the answer is, you are light. And you do nobody any favors if you flicker and dimly shine. However, as we discover who God has called us to be, we become salt. We become light. That's who we are essentially in this world. And now today, we move away from Christianity as a way of being or as an identity and into the choices we make as human beings. Christianity is also a series of choices. The hard stuff of life, the decisions, how we choose to be as people and together. See, for the writer of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus, he's like the new Moses, teaching on the mountain, much like Moses bringing the law down from Mount Sinai. And he's not giving 10 commandments, but here we get what is called in biblical scholarship the 6 antitheses. And these have to do with anger and lust and divorce and swearing oaths and retaliation and love. And in each case, Jesus takes a commonly understood part of the ancient teachings, names what it is, and then gives you his take on it. His intention is not to say, not that, but this, but rather his intention is to say, you've heard this. I say, go deeper. What you've been taught is real, but often taken only on the surface. I want you to go deeper. Our way is a deeper way. It's not about the letter of the law, what you or I can get by with and still consider ourselves faithful. No, this is not an ethics game we're playing. Christian ethics call us to the spirit of the thing. Not just getting by and keeping our nose clean, but living in a whole new way that goes right to our core. You have heard it said, he says. So he's picking an old law. You have heard it said, you shall not murder. That's a good plan. But I say, what's inside you that would lead you to that in the first place? Lead you to anything close to that in the first place? Anger? Perhaps there's something deeper you need to address in this spiritual ethic. Deal with that. Reconciled people don't hurt each other. Be a reconciled person. The ethical line is not drawn outside in behavior, but inside in the spirit of the thing. Then he does it again. You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. Fine, good plan. But what is inside of you that would even make you consider that? Is it lust? Is it pain? Deal with that. The ethical line that is within. You've heard it said, men in particular, divorcing your wife is quite simple. Do a certificate. Certificate's a good plan? Fine. But what's inside you that would lead you to simply cast off one you had committed yourself to lightly? Deal with that. And you will find an ethical way through the the difficult areas of divorce. You have heard that it is said, do not swear falsely. Fine, good plan. But what is inside that would make you want to puff yourself up enough to swear anything? As God is my witness, why do you need to say that? Deal with your need to puff yourself up with words. And you will be able to simply let your words stand for themselves. And now today, so those are the first antitheses, and he's kind of building up to a crescendo. Now, today we hear, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Fine. But what is inside you that seeks to want another to be punished? That seeks revenge? Deal with that so that you will be able to be nonviolent in all things. Peaceful within yourself, even in the face of another's violence. And finally, you have heard it said, love your friend and hate your enemy. Fine. As far as it goes. But what is inside you that would lead you to hate anyone at all? Deal with that. Learn to love your enemy, and you will have found an ethic that really transforms the world. It's hard stuff, what he's asking. But it is the core of the gospel, the core lines that guide our way, and those lines are not written outside of ourselves, but they're written inside of ourselves, and they're discerned inside of ourselves, and they require discernment, self-understanding. The question Jesus had for his disciples was, when you come down off the mountain and head into the Roman-occupied streets, and when you get mistreated and threatened, how are you going to be? What you choose will show the way that you've chosen to be. And that is a matter of an ethical heart more than following the rules. And the question for us is this: when we go into our lives, how are we going to be with ourselves and with one another, and more to the point, within ourselves? There are ethical lines out there, laws, teachings, moral codes. Those can be our guides, and that is fine. We follow these. But as Christians, that it needs to go farther than that. The world will not be transformed as God would have it be transformed simply by following the rules. The ethical lines that really change the world, that really make a difference, are ones we choose to hold on to within ourselves and then act from. And that is the business of the Christian church. We're not really in the business of following ethical teachings that will keep our nose clean. We are in the business of being transformed and the transformation of the world. That's our business. And today, everywhere we look, we are in that business. Today, on the streets of Kiev, people will be making choices that have the power to change their world. And we have seen in many parts of the world how violence begets violence, how one repressive regime gets replaced by another repressive regime. Jesus' gospel way is an attempt to break that cycle and find a new and different way. 2 years ago this week, a group of people tried that exact thing outside a little town in Guatemala called San Jose del Golfo. They reached into this gospel way of loving your enemy and praying for your persecutor. And as that enemy and persecutor proceeded up the road and tried to take away their land, they lay down on the road and held up a picture of Mother Mary and said, "No." But they did not say no with violence. They said no with love. And that line continues to be drawn in that place. The gospel way is a vulnerable way that calls us to difficult choices, nonviolent choices. But what makes these people's choices and our own choices radical is not that they are choosing to love each other, which they are, but that they are choosing to love their enemies. We love our friends. We make a nice life for a couple of people. We love our enemies, and we ourselves are transformed, and the community and the world is in some small way radically different. In a moment, we're going to hear the choir sing a song, an old African-American spiritual, "Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart." To be a Christian in our heart, we ask God to transform us in the heart, that we might love in this radical way. So let this piece of music be our bold prayer, that inch by inch, choice by choice, day by day, we might come to embrace that radical love that leads us past the boundaries that we could imagine into the love of even our enemies. Amen.